Hello, book besties.
We are
back live.
Okay, sorry. We're so professional, but this is day three of extroverting. So.
Oh, listen, I was like, I was talking to Julian Winters, and I was like, do you think they'll put a filter on me? And I was like, can I have whatever filter makes me look awake?
we were literally haranguing Matt Denneman this morning because he looks exhausted.
He looks
so tired. And they've been beating him like a workhorse, so we're like, hydrate. I took Katie in there, and I dragged him, and I go, this is our nurse.
Yeah.
She literally come with our own nurse.
There you go. You have the right idea.
So we're here with Edward Underhill to talk about his book, The In-Between Bookstore, which is a fantastic little short read.
Yeah, it's actually not that long.
But it'll get you for yourself. It'll make you feel
as the dyslexic queen in the room.
Oh, listen, I am the slowest reader ever. I feel really bad. People ask me to blurb things and I'm like, how long can you wait for it?
Do you have an audiobook arc that I could borrow?
Yeah.
Seriously, the first thing we ask.
Yeah.
So two books published in the same year. Mm-hmm. Did you sleep at all?
No. Especially because I was also working on another book at the same time. Like, so,
Joseph Friends.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Is that one sold as well?
Like, it is.
Will we be
good ups, friends?
Oh, we will definitely be asking about that then.
Yeah. It was a lot. And it was I felt like I was having to switch my brain back and forth
of
a lot.
Course.
So, when In Case You Read This, which is my third YA, came out in May. Someone came up to, you know, one of my first events and was like, can you, like, write a quote in the book? Like, what's your favorite line? And it's like, oh, yeah, of course. I opened the book and I was like, what did I write in this book? I
don't remember. In this book.
Like, trying to juggle very different lanes was quite something. Yeah,
and it's across age ranges and, you know, it's just, like, it's great.
You'll get to a point where the fans know your books better than you.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, Dr. Harkness does cons, right? And her first thing is like, you guys know these books better than me now. You tell me what it says.
Oh, I've actually corrected an author. I'm like, actually, in your book.
I would believe it. I would 100%
believe it. Who was
that, Nikki?
And she was like, well, you read it more
recently. No, it was Addison.
Yeah, and she was like, well, you recently read it, so you probably do know it better.
Well, and I've gone through, like, revisions, and they've been very crunched and very fast. And so I'm like, I'm always afraid that I'll be like, oh, yeah, and in this scene, and readers will be like, What scene is that? And be like, oh, never mind, it's not in there anymore.
That was cut. My bad. So you just need to like audiobook on the way into your next event. So that
clearly that wouldn't
you
be
have
weird
time.
At all.
No.
Audio arcs here first, gang. So we hear book besties have beef with authors just putting queer characters in to put queer characters in.
Our new thing is, look, a gay!
Right? Like, writing in a gay man.
That's how I am in Trader Joe's all the time. I think that's a gay over there. Can we be friends?
Oh, I am super guilty of this. Like, so my daughter's called my husband a lesbian.
Uh-huh.
Like, because if you met us, it would make
sense. They are kind of like a lesbian couple.
Uh-huh.
And
the U-Haul came the weekend. He,
over. Every once in a while, I'm like, Matt, look, there's lesbians.
Yes.
Lesbians. And I'm like, hi, friends.
Yes.
Yep. They're the only ones that get me, and they're like, oh, God, look at that weird bi woman. But how do you, where was I? Your stories of love and misromance just happen to be about queer characters.
Yeah.
We all know representation matters. So how did these characters come to you?
You know, I feel like I'm always walking a very fine line because whenever I sort of have a question like this, I'm always like, well, my characters can't not be trans and queer.
Right.
Because that is fundamentally
That's
a part of
story.
Who they are.
Yeah.
But also a lot of the way that I write stories is about the rest of the plot and the rest of the things that happen in their lives that don't have to do with being trans and queer.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's a weird balance.
They just,
but
this
I think
is
it,
a story, but it just happens to be queer.
Yeah. But I think that's like part of how I live my life. I don't actually wake up every morning and go, oh my God, I'm trans.
Except in June.
Yes. In June I am very.
God damn, I'm gay again.
Yes. Yeah.
Where's
Once
my
a
rainbow?
Year, it comes around.
I took a break, but now we're back.
Oh no, it's coming back.
Yeah. But like it's so I'm very interested in the parts of your life that are just like everything else you experience.
Absolutely.
It's a part of you.
Yeah, it's absolutely
a part of you. And so it's a part of the story.
Yeah.
And that's how it feels, right?
Yeah.
But author, we've talked about this, like, authors just do it to do it.
Yeah.
And but there's a line.
Right. But I think, like, in this case, a lot of, so in the case of the In-Between Bookstore, a lot of, like, I knew that trans identity was going to be very important because I always had the idea that the, you know, the sort of crux of the book would be this queer person, trans person going back to their old hometown. And I think, like, that's been something that every queer person I've talked to, especially if you're from a small town, has been, like, very, has, like, had a complicated relationship to going back where they're from. But I also knew, like, this was going to be the quarter-life crisis book. This was going to be, like, I'm turning 30 and figuring out my life book. And so, like, to me, that was, like, the stuff that mattered about the character was more about, like, you're just trying to sort of figure out who you're trying to be in your adulthood now, in, like, turning 30 and going, like, oh, my God, what is my life? And, you know, all that, like, millennial ennui angst.
Yeah.
Seriously.
We got it.
So, yeah. Yeah. So I think, like, that's... that kind of came first, and, like, I knew the trans stuff is going to be important. It's like, there's, that is always underlying some piece of who the character is, but it often, for me, is, like, starting from who else are they as well.
Yeah, because queer people are multifaceted.
Right.
Shockingly,
You know what I mean? Yeah. We're not just a bisexual. So I'm a bisexual mom, veteran. Like, there's more to me than my sexuality. It just happens.
I have a cat. That's actually more of my personality. No,
I have several animals, actually. Can we'll talk about that later.
I know it's not at all the same, but my oldest son is autistic, and that's not the most interesting thing about him.
Yeah.
That's one minor thing. Yeah. It's not even funny. There's so many better things about him. Yeah. And for me, coming as a children's librarian, I've said this all weekend long, I will die on the hill of diverse books for kids.
Yeah.
I want to see it. But here's the thing. I've had books recommended to me that will, I run a Battle of the Books. They're like, this will read really well for Battle of the Books. And I read it, and the representation is written from the lens of somebody who doesn't represent that community.
Yeah.
So one of the reasons I went to library school is because I wanted to see more authentic books get out there and be somebody that could champion those books for kids.
Yeah.
I want an authentic voice. I don't want, hey, here's a gay character, because if I put that in, then we can go to the bury the gays, you know, philosophy.
Yes. Yeah.
We don't want
that.
But
she's just learning new too.
I actually am reading the LGBTQ history book, which is from DK. And I saw a TikToker who is a queer historian. Like, that is her job. I think she uses they pronouns, so I apologize. That is their job. They recommended that, among other books. And I happen to have that one in my library. And so I've been, I think I've been doing this for like a month and a half now.
We get a new gay history fact of the day.
Love it.
So
excellent.
It's been really interesting for me.
But it's no longer June, so knock it off.
Oh, I'm still going to do it. I'm going to finish the book. But what's been interesting for me is I'm a regular church attendee. I am at church every Sunday. Molly is my heathen friend. And what I want people to know, and this is what I told our friend AJ West, I'm using this book as, this is why I support queer people.
Yeah.
Because this is not a new thing.
No.
Look at your history.
Yep.
Look at your history.
And that's like part of the, like, this most recent Pride, it was more about remember the history.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Because Stonewall. Like, if we're constantly having to fucking carry bricks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm 3/4 through the LGBTQ history book, and I'm not even to Stonewall yet.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
that's how deep the history is.
Yeah.
yeah.
And I've learned so much shit. It's been amazing. Sorry. Yeah. I didn't mean to get on that tangent.
No, that's fine.
I will get on that soapbox every day, you know?
Yeah, I think, like, a lot of what I was wrestling with in the In-Between Bookstore is a lot of what I was wrestling with coming out way back in the long ago dark history of 2009. And, like, this is what happens when you don't have any of that history, when you don't have that language, and you, like, literally have no idea how to figure out who
you
are.
And you don't know who you're feeling. You don't know why you're feeling these feelings.
So did you find this book to be, like, a healing journey for you?
I did. It was really cathartic.
But that wasn't the point of this.
It wasn't the point, but I think, like, I always write from really big emotions. Like, I need to feel big emotions that my characters are feeling.
Yeah. You're either a 3 crying with eyes out or a 7 full of joy.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, that is a big reason that I want to write books, is I am looking for some kind of emotional truth in a story, and I want to be able to share that. And I think, like, this was that time for me to kind of go back and try to get into some of that, like, just, like, wrestling with what the concept of home means as a queer person, and, like, finding yourself and the things that you missed. And but I also knew I really didn't want to make this a book about, like, you know, transphobia from the outside.
Yeah. Right.
So this is a lot of, like, he's sort of, you know, he, as a younger person, struggled with not being able to see any examples of trans people, which was true for me. But there's a lot in the book, too, about just, like, the harm that happens when you think that something is true that's not true.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you think that there are no other queer people around you and you're wrong about that or anything like
growing up in a small town, I feel that with my whole soul. There was one kid out in my high school.
Yeah, and it turns out that, like, I grew up with other queer people, but I didn't know it because none of us were out at the time. Because you absorb, it's about what you absorb.
In the 90s. But I'm a cheerleader.
Yeah.
But the 90s were hard for that. Like, my uncle, I'm from Ohio originally. I don't live here now, but my uncle, he's deceased now, gay man. He and his partner were together for 20 years before gay marriage was legal, all that stuff. My brothers actually thought they were business partners and roommates.
Yep.
And that's the story that we were told. And they had a pizza shop down here in Columbus in the queer neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended every night with, "That's what friends were for." And I swear, like, that is such a vivid memory of me.
Yeah.
But even still with that relationship, he didn't really have people around him who were also queer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I had a conversation with him once, and I was like, "Did you always know?" And he's like, "I mean, I dated women in high school, but I 100% knew that that's not what I wanted."
Yeah.
But, you know, where's the role model?
Yeah.
So, you know, you get to be that now, which is incredible. When you get to be that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you write YA and adult novels.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a preferred audience? Do you have a preferred genre?
I really don't. I started writing YA because I love writing big feelings, and my God, teenagers have a lot of them.
So
much. Really... Oh, come visit the big sis.
And, like, but that's what I love. I think there's something really special about that moment when you are starting to become your own individual person and figuring out
turning
who you are for the first time. Yeah. But then I sort of got the opportunity to write the In-Between Bookstore because an editor asked if I would consider writing for adults. And I hadn't really thought about it before then. And then it ended up being really fun to kind of, like, get to write for, like, where me and my friends are now.
Yeah.
And realizing that I hadn't seen a lot of, like, commercial representation of queerness in the sort of way that I was interested in reading. And realizing that I was still reading a lot of YA because that was where I saw that.
Which is interesting because a few years ago, you did not see it there.
No.
Right, but it's changed a lot.
A lot.
And so this was sort of like getting to write the book that was for the millennials, for, like, what our experiences are like now, and for the sort of queer crowd that are, like, my...
Generation.
Yeah, that, like, are a lot of my friends.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool.
So what's your current reading hyperfixation? You said you're a slow reader, but what are you reading?
I am, but I am reading right now, and this is really funny. Like, if my agent sees this, she's just going to laugh at me because we've been having this sort of, like, on and off fight where she loves mysteries, and she keeps trying to recommend them to me, and I'm just like, but I don't, detectives are boring. And I don't like them.
Okay, so he's going to come on Book Besties, and he's going to read a mystery with us.
I don't like them either.
But then, she has been trying to get me into this, to read this mystery book for a while. And I was like, okay, fine, I'm going to do it. So I'm currently reading Lavender House by Lev Rosen. And I was like, oh, man, I think this is the one that gets me. Like, so it is a, like, queer mystery, historical fiction. Set in the 1950s,
really
it is so good.
It's supposed to be really good. It's
really
been on my
good.
TBR for a hot minute.
So you definitely need to read The Betrayal of Thomas True because it is also a mystery that will make you love the mystery.
Yeah. Really good.
So what's next for you? Three books? Are we still writing? Are we publishing?
Mm-hmm.
What?
So I have...
going on a safari? What's up?
So I have a second book for adults coming out next year in summer 2026. It's probably going to be May. Called The House of Now and Then, and it is about a trans man who goes through sort of a big, messy breakup and needs to get out of the city for a while, so he rents a seaside cottage on Cape Cod And he's gonna like escape there for a little bit, except when he shows up, he discovers that someone from his past is behind each door.
Can we pre-order this yet?
You cannot. It's not quite up for pre-order because it just launched.
But
at
check
Harper,
out his website and social medias, because when we can pre-order it, I am.
I can say if you want to look for the In Between bookstore, but $28 is too much for you, there is a paperback coming out in January. That is available.
I'm gonna love on this hardback.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful hardback.
It's gorgeous.
But I do have a paperback coming out. That
it was
will
in,
be
on display in Barnes and Noble when I went.
But that's
it was
lovely.
June because,
yes,
you know.
There you go. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Everything's gay.
Yes.
So, are you a pantser, a plotter? How do we get here?
I used to be pretty much a pantser, where I would like have like I know where I need to end up, and mm-hmm. I know where I'm starting, and I don't know how I'm getting there. Publishing turned me into a plotter.
Yeah,
because we've heard that story.
They want structure. They need to see you're doing work.
Yeah, and because
you have to show your math.
I started to sell on proposal, mm-hmm. so which was great from a financial perspective because then like I don't have to write the whole book.
Yeah.
Before getting paid for the first time, which is really great as an author. But that sort of meant that I would then have to like plan out like here's a synopsis to show you. But it's actually worked really well for my brain, as it turns out, because I think I'm also somebody who's very pragmatic. I am a peak Capricorn. My queer friends who know astrology have informed me. So now I basically like I don't start writing anything without talking to my agent and sort of presenting her with a pitch.
I have this idea
to like because I want to know like does this seem
is
viable
well?
As
right.
like something that we could try to sell. So I have gotten, but I think for me it turned out that it was just like a muscle that I needed to flex and practice.
So have you shelved any ideas?
Oh, sure. I have.
Anything you kind of want to fight
I think
for
the,
right now?
The first, my debut was probably the 10th book that I'd written.
Yeah.
But this was also, I started writing books when I was 14, and a lot of them were real bad.
Yeah.
So nobody needs to read the big Star Trek book.
My first came out in fourth grade. It was printed in the Owego Penny Saver. I felt very, very good about my life.
Yeah.
It was a hyena that had a headache.
Yeah, but I also think like there's something like a lot of those books will never see the day, and I should never revive them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I still find myself pulling, like, bits and pieces mm-hmm. out.
Because
or, like,
there,
learning things from them.
There's parts of yourself in there.
Yeah.
And you learn
and there's,
something.
Like, something that you can still recycle for another book or
and
pull
and
out.
And you learn a lot when you finish a novel and you're like, I realize that this isn't going to work. I have a 80K book shelved, Katie, because I fucked up the timeline so bad. I'm like, there's no saving this.
Yeah.
I feel like when you get to the point, it does. I feel like when you get to the point where you can just send like a little bit to your agent and be like, would this sell? And not have to query an entire novel. That's the point when you can really be like, I have made it. Like, this is my career.
Yeah, I mean, publishing is full of rejection at every turn. Mm-hmm. And
seriously.
So there is still, you know, you can be several books in and then no one wants your fourth book. And it just, like, that certainly happens. Then if you want to shift genres, for example, you sometimes have to like write a full manuscript again.
Yeah.
Because it's like you have to prove that you can do a different kind of story.
Even though the last 12 books you wrote weren't good enough.
So our very good friend Francesca Zappia, Chazzy, who is a YA author, she's been doing that too. She's been switching genres and she just has her first adult book that is being shopped right now. And that's been her experience as well.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I know that Eliza and Her Monsters is like hella famous, but also I want to write horror.
Yeah.
I don't want to just write this and realistic fiction. And that's been, you know, a challenge.
Yeah.
Especially
she's been
in the
industry since she was in high school.
She was first published from high school. I'm like,
bitch. It's super rude.
but like, you know, and she's, because YA, they do want a YA author to kind of live in the same genre because then the kids want to expect what they're going to get.
Yeah.
And that's just not always what the writing creativity
wants
you to
do. Oh, my brain gets
bored.
Yeah. Sure. So I like the idea of being able to write in multiple categories and multiple genres. But it's realistic from a, I think, career perspective now, too, to kind of keep your career going.
Yeah.
Multiple
listen, if Madonna can reinvent herself every few years, you can, too.
So what do you have left today? What's going on in Ohio for you?
What do I have left today? I have a panel immediately after this that is going to be Gentle Fantasy, okay. I believe. Yeah, so it's...
Gentle Fantasy.
Gentle Fantasy, which is a little bit funny because I think, like...
So, like, cozy?
Yeah, kind of cozy, which is funny because, like, I don't think of the In-Between Bookstore as being cozy fantasy because it's not, like, orcs in a coffee shop.
Right.
But I think
that's where my brain goes when I hear cozy.
Legends and Lattes is immediately where cozy
exactly.
fantasy is
for me. And I think the other two authors on that panel are a little bit more in that direction. But I think the In-Between Bookstore has ended up, which is like one of those things that you don't necessarily realize when you're writing mm-hmm. something, it's ended up sitting adjacent to several different genres.
Yeah.
And so the sort of bookstore, time travel, cozy element of it can kind of pull it in
I
that
love
direction.
How fans do that. You put a book out and like you have a certain idea of what it's mm-hmm. going to be. And then the fans come out and just take it and turn it into something
yeah.
else. And you're
yeah.
like, oh, okay, here we are.
yeah, yep. we had our panel yesterday, one of our panelists, we were talking about romanticy, and she said, I didn't know what it was that I was writing. People
yeah.
were telling me this didn't exist. She's like an OG romanticist.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like, they told me this isn't a genre. And I was mm-hmm. like, turns out it is.
Yeah.
And it's like
yeah.
hella popular right now.
Yeah.
We're wrapping up.
Oh, goodness, words are hard. I am so,
so
tired.
So what's next for you the rest of the year?
Yeah.
Like, what's, are you
doing
any more?
You're
going to
be anywhere else?
Oh, am I doing any more? Yes. Now here's where my brain is tired and I have to remember. I am going
to... Look at his website is what we're saying.
yeah, basically. I know I'm going to be at the Boston Book Festival mm-hmm. in October.
Ooh, fun.
And I think at a book festival in Wisconsin as well. And then otherwise, I'm going to be writing in my little cave, pretty much.
I feel that in my soul.
And where are you,
yeah.
where are you from?
I'm from Wisconsin originally, but I live in Southern California now.
Good call.
SoCal.
Yeah.
Good call.
Yeah. yeah.
Well, okay, thank you so much.
For your time.
Thank
honestly,
you for having me.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, we didn't ask the vampire question.
Oh, we have one more question.
Oh, okay.
Tom. This is a book bestie staple.
All right.
You and I actually had a conversation about this before.
And it doesn't matter how you answer, there's no right answer.
Great, I've completely forgotten whatever conversation we had, so.
Do vampires have sperm?
Okay, so I have to tell you that we were having a somewhat, I was having a somewhat related conversation with my partner mm-hmm. because we decided to do a rewatch of Buffy the Vampire Slayer lately.
As one should.
And we got to the episode where Willow says, like, Angel, how do you shave?
Right.
Because, like, he
can't see
his reflection,
himself.
Right?
Yeah.
So I was just like,
they
right,
get together
like,
in groups and shave each other.
I mean, right, this is, like, the obvious answer, but also, like, are you growing anything?
Right.
I
yeah.
mean, like, if you... get a haircut as a vampire, is that it? Like, you
yeah,
are now living with
that
haircut
well,
forever?
Well, it just depends on who the author is, right? Like,
yeah.
so, Twilight, Emma Barry, our friend and author, has made it very clear. She thinks there was just one in the chamber, and Edward just, and that was it. And my daughter, last night, added onto this, a teenager goes, that's why he waited so long.
I have no idea. I haven't thought about
so
this question.
We spend way too much time on
this.
We've
been down
clearly.
This rabbit hole way too many times. My whole thing is, if you use Edward specifically, like, he's basically made of stone. So did he just walk around with an erection all the time? Like, is that, like, he was just always, like, out there?
Yeah, I feel like, and I feel like I'm so much more in, like, the Buffyverse version
yeah.
of vampires.
Yeah, yeah.
So
and, like,
I would feel
and
like
I have, like,
Deborah like,
Harkness vampires
right.
in my brain. And you also have Ellie Hazelwood. And,
right.
Like,
Bride is
so
a good book.
But, like, mm-hmm. Dr. Harkness makes it science-y.
Yeah.
Ellie makes it science-y.
Right.
But, you know, like, Stephanie Meyers was just like, look, baby.
yeah, but Stephanie Meyers also had to write, look, could be Mormon.
Yes. No, this is true. I mean, right. I mean, I feel like... like, they clearly have enough blood circulating that, like, you know, you
yeah.
in order to turn each other or turn,
yeah,
turn someone,
venom,
right?
So
they have that. But, yeah, I don't know. I feel like if you, like, you would deplete the supply because they're not, like,
yeah.
making
it. Also,
supply.
And they're, like,
cold.
Yeah.
And they've been going at it a while. If there is anything active, it should be long gone by now.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, that's it, Beth.
Thank you for answering our very weird question.
We
You're
appreciate
very welcome.
It all.
Thank
we'll
you
have
for
to
having
come back.
Me.
This
yes.
is our last live interview of the weekend. We're going to try to do some spot interviews with some of the people who are here visiting.
Thank you
and
for tonight, Book Besties.
This has been amazing.
Yes,
thank
you
so
Edward.
Much, Edward.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank you for having
I love
me.
It. Yes. This is
we've had a
incredible.
Time. Yes.
Incredible.
Well, we'll okay. see you later, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Hi, friends.
Good morning, Book Besties. We are here with author Christy Boyce.
Am I saying your last name right?
Yes, absolutely. Okay, good, because I've said it like a billion times, yep. So if I'm saying it wrong at this point, I can't fix it.
She seems too nice to correct us.
No, it is Elise, so.
She's a good Ohio girl, so yeah. I am a fellow Ohio girl. That Midwest nice will get you every
yes.
time.
Yes, mm-hmm. Give them a smile.
Yeah. So we are here to talk about your books. You have two books in this series right now, but is there a third in the works?
There's a third one coming, yes.
And so we have Dungeons and Drama and Dragons and Dating,
Dating
right?
Dating and Dragons, yep.
Dating and Dragons, my bad. I got it backwards.
No worries.
Last year, you were a Goodreads nominee for Dungeons and Drama, and I just read your book a couple of days ago, and I read the audiobook. The narrator
so good.
Is so good.
He's so good.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Fake dating is one of my favorite tropes.
It's a great trope.
So we have a book three coming out. Can you tell us any more about that?
Yes. It's going to be Roles and Rivalry, and it is going to, well, if Dungeons and Drama is my my D&D and musical theater book, then this is going to be my D&D and marching band book.
Yes! Your girl was a marching band girl. So.
I was in marching band. I did color guard, and I did concert band and winter guard and all the things. So it's going to be a color guard girl, and it's going to be a percussion guy. Rivals to Lovers.
I love a good drummer boy.
I had to do a percussion guy.
Mm-hmm. Because they're just them.
I know they are, which is kind of like, yeah, that's...
The math-maths.
The math-maths. It just makes sense for a romance.
Well, see, that... So, okay, yes, percussion, but when I was telling my husband about this yesterday, because we got the inside scoop, everybody, we knew that it was going to be a marching band on Friday, but I said, Tom said, if she doesn't put something about brass player lips in there, and then he completely zoned out, and I was like, Tom, you have to turn. He was like, I was thinking about your brass player lips, so I'm like, okay, unacceptable. Our son's in the back. Turn the car.
I'm still working on it, so I can always edit in a little bit. And
someone has to have brass player lips, I'm telling
sure,
you.
Sure, that's fair, yeah. That's. I feel like there's so many tropes in marching band, it's hard to, like,
try
to get every single one in that
but
I can.
But I feel like
so.
Percussionist going for the color guard is so on brand.
Yeah.
So on brand.
Yeah. And she's going to be a first-time DM, so that's been fun to get to write about, like, her DMing as opposed to being a player, so that's been fun.
Nice. Yeah, and one of the things we were talking about with Matt Dinneman is how there are people reading his books that wouldn't be like a typical RPG reader.
Yeah.
And one of the things I love about yours is like you bring D&D for the girly girls.
You made it accessible.
Like, you made it something that they can get into.
Right.
I was very thoughtful about that because, like, I have my friends who are into role-playing, but I also have friends and beta readers who literally don't know anything about Dungeons & Dragons at all. So I had to kind of think, like, how am I going to write this in a way where hopefully it resonates with people who loved a game, but also people who don't know anything about it and are a little intimidated about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I feel like it's kind of worked out. Like, I definitely have a wide variety of people who are reading it, and they seem to be able to follow along.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I don't play Dungeons & Dragons. I shared this story with Christy on Friday, but I don't play because I died my very first role, and I told my husband, never again. So even though he DMs and our kids play...
You die. It happens. You
do die. But it is very sad.
But he was like...
You can't get
but it was my first role, Molly.
I understand
my first
that.
Role.
And you get emotionally attached to the character.
I spent
it.
A whole day making that character.
I might need to put this into a book at some point. Like, it feels very...
You should. And then,
the whole
and then,
day.
And then please in your author's note, because I love to read author's notes. Like, I am that girl. If you put it in there, I'm going to read every...
Me too.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. I don't know your friends, but I want to read about how much you love them.
Yeah.
So in your author's note, you can be like, shout out to Bestie April, who gave me the idea for
there we go.
The first role. I'll be in the author's note, fellow Ohio girl.
We're constantly trying to, with Emma Berry, we've like convinced her that she needs to put like Twilight references in her novels.
Oh, yes. Nice.
And, like, and if you do... You have to mention us. Because
there's
the only reason you want to do
this. And there's a specific reason we have a Twilight reference, and we're going to ask you a question in a little bit about that.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Because,
okay.
You know, we have to. So, oh, goodness. My brain just completely reset.
So, why are you Goodreads?
Yes.
Okay, like, that just, it's amazing.
Thank you.
And did you really think that would pop off this way?
not in any shape or form did I think that was going to happen. I just wanted to get this book into a published form where I can hold it in my hands. That's the only expectation I had for it. I feels a little silly now, but I really didn't think it was going to, I thought it was going to be niche. Like, I thought there'd be an amount of people.
It's amazing when something you put out there in the world and everybody sees it and goes, I get it. And you're like, I feel seen.
Yes.
As an author. And that's amazing for you.
It's been amazing. Yes.
This is the sticker you need, Roll for Romance.
Yeah, I have that one.
Yes. Good.
Because, yeah, I mean, I underestimated how many, not just D&D players and then musical theater players there are separately, but how many, many people have both of those things in common. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And people who have married their DM, like I married my DM. Yeah. So I have, like, a lot of people.
She married her DM.
And while this is YA, I have a lot of adult friends who read this because they felt seen, right? Mm-hmm. Because there is a lot of us that are our age group that grew up in basements playing D&D with their male friends and being the only chick in the basement.
Right.
So I didn't grow up playing D&D, but I did grow up watching Star Wars. Uh-huh. Yeah. And I have my Leia earrings on today.
I love it.
And she, General Leia Organa.
Right.
Yeah, she was born a princess. She fucking became a general.
That's right. Yeah,
she's like, I will not settle.
I will rise.
She was the only woman in sci-fi.
Right, absolutely.
And of course they had to put her in a bikini, uh-huh. and Carrie Fisher hated it.
Right.
Like, hated it.
But there's so many pictures of her with her middle finger in that bikini just doing
this. Yeah, she hated it.
It's like, because she got Carrie.
She got the vibe.
She knew what was
she
wrong.
She knew what's wrong. Yeah. So, yeah, so it's really cool now that we have nerdy books for girls.
Yes.
It makes me really happy.
Boys can read this, too. My husband actually read it before I did.
Thank you very much. It's representation for us that we didn't have. And I appreciate that.
Yeah,
I hope you know that. Like, you are appreciated and loved for it.
Thank you.
So I feel like I have to ask, since we are fellow Ohioans, and now the tween thing and teen thing is to shit on Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
So
right, yes.
Hey, my son doesn't want anyone to know that he lived here.
I didn't know this was a thing until I just recently found out. I was like, Ohio particularly? Okay, I don't know.
Yeah, Ohio's particularly.
What the hell is that?
I don't even know.
Skibbity Roy Riz Ohio. I don't know.
It's the it's also in Ireland, by the way, too.
What?
My other bestie's kids live in Ireland, and they're high schoolers. And when I tell you that they love Trump,
oh, no.
They think Ohio is the stupidest thing in the world, and it is a massive meme for them.
If you're going to shit on any Midwest state,
do you guys even
make it be Michigan?
Right?
Like, I was talking to Lee, the oldest nephew, and I'm like, why? And he goes, they have no idea.
They just think it's cool.
They just think it's funny. And I go, what's funny about Ohio? He goes, we have no idea.
You don't even know what Ohio is.
So, right. But it's the heart of it all. So what's something you want people to know about our state?
Oh, well, I feel like we have a lot of diversity in terms of arts. Yeah. We're at the Columbus Book Festival right now, which is this huge festival.
Huge.
We have a huge writing community, arts community, sports. Don't get me started on that. That's another huge thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We have amazing universities. I teach at Ohio State. I don't know. I feel like there's
Ohio State.
People sometimes get irritated, but yes, the Ohio State.
I'm not Ohioan, but being besties with her for 10-plus years, I know I have to add the or I will get throat punched.
Right. They trademarked it.
Well, at Ohio State, if you walk around campus, people will walk around with just shirts that say the on it, and I always kind of laugh at that. There's a lot to, I mean, they call it a flyover state, but I don't feel like there's any reason to fly over it. I love it, and also it's nice being in my 40s, because, like, I don't care if people are, like, I'm too old to, like, care about, but, like, they're going to make fun of
me. That is my mantra of 40s. I'm too old to care.
Yeah, I just, whatever, you do you.
There's a woman on TikTok who has the We Do Not Care Club. Have you heard
of her? Yeah,
I haven't.
Okay, I'll have to send you something, because it's so funny. It's basically for women who are perimenopause and menopausal, and it's just, like, we frankly don't care anymore.
We're over it, yeah.
The list starts with blow drying our hair every day.
Oh, my God.
We don't care about that anymore.
No, we don't. I've never cared about that. Although it's funny because a few years ago, leggings, I would have been like, nah, I can't wear those as pants. Now I wear them every day.
Yes.
The fact that I'm in a variation of jeans today is wild for me. Is wild.
So if you could pick one music artist to represent your writing, who would it be?
I feel like I have to represent for YA and say Taylor Swift because
I am such a fucking Swiftie.
We are.
I have my, like, literally every single Taylor Swift Spotify list that I've listened to on the way here.
Yeah.
If I'm going to, you know, switch it up a little bit, I also like Gracie Abrams. She's one of I like Taylor's Chrissy friends. Abrams too. And she, like, her album is really fun. And yeah. I was listening to that when I was writing. So yeah. Taylor and Gracie, both wonderful. Yeah,
I lovely. Think that's perfect. I just had a job interview on Wednesday. Yeah. Hopefully I come back and find out I got the job.
She's getting the job.
And I literally sat at my desk prior to my interview and listened to Taylor Swift on shuffle.
Yes.
Because that will pump me up.
Yes.
I will feel
Taylor's,
it.
Yes. Taylor's got us. Yeah. Taylor has our back. Taylor has us for every mood we're in.
Yes.
My 9-year-old boy.
Yes.
Sammy.
Will get in the car and be like, Mommy, put on I Can Do It With a Broken Heart. And I'll be like, okay. He's like, I just really feel that song. And I'm like, you're 9.
That's adorable.
Like, I what broke your heart? And he's like, Nana died. And I'm like, okay, that's fair, buddy. Okay.
That's sweet, though. My son's really into it. We would watch the air. We didn't get to see it. Air.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I didn't have Air Tour money.
The movie, yeah.
I watched the movie many times as well.
Yeah, it is. That Hamilton or 8 repeat in the Biggs house.
Yeah. I love it.
I've never seen 8, but yeah. Hamilton.
Yeah.
Hamilton. I actually got asked by my sons, are you watching Hamilton again? I was like, it's the 4th of July. What else are you supposed to do?
Exactly, yeah.
Waitresses on Max, and so I've been watching that too.
Oh, I haven't the musical. Seen that one yet.
Yeah, it's so good.
I need to do that.
Good.
I mean, I saw it not on, like, Max.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was on Apple, and then they moved it to Max.
Okay, anyway, nice.
Well, if it's on Max, I can watch it now because I steal her. All right, so we've got book 3 coming out. Is there anything else you're working on that you can share with us?
Well, I'm kind of, so book 3 is like the end of my contract, so now we're kind of negotiating what comes next.
Yeah.
So to be honest, I know as little as you guys all know about it because we're kind of figuring it all out. So I think
we're doing this together.
Yes, we're doing it together. There's going to be more books. I don't know exactly. I think there probably will be something, if I had to guess, something in the gaming realm. That's as far as I know, though.
You so, say it in YA? Yeah. It's your niche?
For right now, I'm staying with my publisher, and we're going to do more books. So.
Yeah, well, I love that. Nurse Katie and I were trying to convince her on Friday
to
bring her witty banter into adult romance and write us some smut.
I've not said no. I'm just right in the midst
says,
of...
maybe. Later.
It's all good.
Yeah. I'll keep you updated as it happens.
Just follow our website. Go to our socials.
Yeah.
I'm on Instagram, so follow me there.
So, are there any scenes from either of these books that got cut that you wish wouldn't have?
There was a scene that was a pickleball scene, but we got to put it into, like, there was a Barnes & Noble exclusive version, and I got to put it in there, so it didn't get fully cut. But I did really like, there's a whole pickleball situation with, there's a funny grandma, and I really enjoyed those scenes, so I was a little bit sad at first to cut that, and I was glad it kind of got a second life. And then, otherwise, I really didn't cut a whole lot. I tend to write short as opposed to long.
Yeah.
But my editor did pull me back a little bit and said, like, grandma's taking over the story a little bit, so we kind of got to pull
especially
her back.
YA.
Yeah, so I had to pull some of the grandma scenes
that
back.
Makes
but,
sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So are you a pantser or a plotter?
I'm a little bit of both. So I do like to, where obviously I'm starting, where I'm going to end, and like some of the main things in between. But I can't really call myself a plotter because I feel like the real plotters, they know everything. They have it all worked out. I don't quite have that. So I'm a little bit in the middle.
I almost feel like if you overplot, though, you don't give your
that
book a chance to be flexible.
Well,
yeah.
And that's the whole point of writing, right, is the creative side of it.
Yeah.
And when you go too hard in your structure, it becomes one of those bot books where it's like scene, next scene. And you can feel how the author is just cut and paste shit together, and it doesn't feel like it organically flows. And you write organically flowing.
Thank you. It takes longer.
No, you're terrible. I hate you. I can't believe you're here.
So I have a question. It's not on our list, so feel free to say I don't want to answer that.
Okay.
Why should people root for Riley?
Oh, well, I love Riley because I think she's such a strong character, and she wants the musical to come back, and she has her own struggles, but I just love her because she's so strong. She's way stronger than I am and way more confident than I am, and so I just have such a soft spot in my heart. I love all my characters, but Riley in particular.
Like, I want to root for her, but not if she's my daughter.
That's fair.
I have sons, but if she was
strong,
my kid, I'd be like... lied about all the things.
It is funny because, like, I don't really judge her very much because I wrote her, but there were some middle schoolers who were reading it, and their, like, teacher came, and they're like, they all hate Riley. They're into the book, but right now they hate Riley, but they think they might be able to, like, come back on her side. I was like, oh, that's interesting.
But writing fun characters is amazing.
Yeah,
right?
It is fun.
That's also the real world.
Right.
So, but I feel like
oh my gosh, I forgot the other character's name.
Nathan,
thank yes. you. He softens her edges.
Yeah, he does.
And she softens his, because he's got a hard exterior, too. Yes. He's got some rough spots.
And that's the fun thing about romance, is watching these two characters kind of make better versions of each other, so.
I was rooting for them from page one.
Oh, good. So
and
good.
Also, if it's fake dating, I'm like, yes, please fall in love with each other. This is amazing. I'm not a fan of fake marriage.
Okay, right. Fair.
Too much of a commitment.
I don't like fake dating. I don't like the pregnancy trope either. Like,
sure, yeah.
Although I will tell you, out on a limb, does the pregnancy trope right? Yeah. We just
does it?
Yeah, yeah.
Does it? Okay. It's really good.
So, my question.
Yeah.
I was a cheerleader.
Yes.
I grew up playing D&D. I was one of the boys for a long time till I got boobs. They let me play D&D still in high school, but nobody knew. I hid it, right? Nobody. So why represent us? Why show that the nerdy girls can be out in public and out of the dark and out of the basement?
I guess because I'm one of them, and I just want to write what I love.
That's what's up.
I mean, I wanted to always write my D&D book. I mean, that's what I did growing up. That's how I met a lot of my close friends. That's how I met my husband.
There are people.
Yes, and I was again, surprised that there were not more books like this out there. So I realized, I got to write this book, man.
Because I didn't feel represented until I saw your, that was me in high school. I was, Friday nights was Firefly.
Love it.
Senior year. And then we'd go to my best friend's basement, and we'd play D&D.
Makes me happy.
Like, Firefly, then fuck you, Joss Whedon. No, fuck you, Fox. But, we lost Firefly, and then my friends all were like, Molly, you're too much of a cheerleader.
Oh, no.
I was too popular.
High school. It's always.
I didn't mean that in a good way. Like, they
popular.
Really.
Popular.
But, we didn't want people to know I was playing with them, because they'd get bullied. For hanging out with a cheerleader because
you would think the nerdy boys would be excited to hang out with the cheerleader.
No, because I was this but on steroids. So it's a lot when I'm around.
Right?
So,
Tom's handing stickers out while we're filming. This is what's happening. You're good.
We're live!
We gotta always be hustling.
This is what happens live.
Gotta hustle.
Alright, so research. You have to research, even though you are a D&D woman, girly woman, whatever you want to use.
Yeah, yeah.
So what is some of your favorite research that came across in the process?
I had two things that were wonderful. So one thing is I had kind of my local, friendly local game store that welcomed me in. They took me all around and we sat for hours. They kind of told me the background of everything. And the other thing was my high school musical director. I got to go in back to my high school and get to meet all of them and kind of talk about things. So it was all very special and fun.
That's fun.
Yeah, it was nice to go back to my alma mater and get to meet all the kids.
I was a band geek, but almost all my friends were choir kids. So Stop. I played softball and our music school was always in the spring, so I couldn't do both.
Yeah.
But I was behind the stage.
Fun.
I did lights, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. I did makeup. And, that's where all my friends were. So I felt these vibes so hard. I was like, of course she's going to be a bard and sing.
Right?
If she doesn't, what is she here for?
Right, exactly.
Why is she here?
Yeah, and I loved that. And I loved how her relationship with her dad. I loved that.
Yeah, that was a special one.
Yeah, no spoilers, but, So, we have a special question we like to ask our authors. And we got crap from Nurse Katie yesterday because we asked a whole doctor.
Because she's not just an author, but she's a cardiologist.
She's a whole doctor. So, do vampires have sperm?
Oh. I did. I don't know what the right answer is here.
Answer is the right answer.
Okay, well, I'm also a PhD, not an MD, so I don't have...
That's okay, too.
I mean, to me, I love Twilight. I was willing to go with it just because... But it never made a lot of sense to me that they would have sperm.
Yep.
Why is he stone, but then he also has some liquids? I don't...
How does he walk around? Does he have an erection all day?
I don't...
He's made of stone!
So I think our favorite answer, Emma Berry, the author, she's a friend of the pod, she says that he had one in the chamber.
Okay.
And last night, my teenager said the best thing ever and finished it off for me. She goes, that's why he waited so long.
Yesterday, husband said it's like a symbol for male toxicity because toxic... toxic masculinity. Oh my gosh, I am not awake this morning. Woo!
Injecting his venom.
Yeah, well, because he does have venom.
Right.
But also, how the fuck does he have venom?
Yeah,
and he was able to not just, like, secrete it, but he was able to save it into a vial.
Like, the math doesn't math.
It doesn't. Right.
Ellie Hazelwood does a good job of it, I feel like.
I did love Brian, yes.
Thank you, Lauren, you're the best. That was Lauren Marie Fleming just walking by. She is going to come on the pod. She just can't be on the pod this weekend.
She's super busy.
We're going to get her.
If you get a chance to see her today, Columbus, she's hilarious.
She's so funny.
Super
so funny.
Smart. Great talk about writing.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes. So we love Twilight.
Yes.
But we, in our first season.
But we also love to hate on it.
I mean, it's fair.
The best Twilight fans are the ones that are understanding
if you're on Twilight shit posts on Facebook, you would understand. Yeah. If you're ratty, you get it.
Yeah. I mean, I was obsessed with it. Like,
I
read all of them. I was up all night reading when they first came out. And,
So I was teaching.
We watch it all together all the time. Yeah.
So I was teaching when the series was out because I started teaching in the early 2000s. Before I went to library school. And my students were like, you just have to read this. You have to read this. And you are going to be, you know, got to tell us if you're Team Edward or Team Jacob.
Yeah.
I don't know who would be Team Jacob.
I mean, honestly.
Like, okay, but Team Taylor Lautner.
Oh, well,
also,
sure.
I'm just,
like a really good guy.
He's an adult now, so I'm allowed to think he's attractive.
But he's also married to another woman named Taylor. They're Taylor and Taylor Lautner.
And he dated Taylor Swift.
Taylor Double. But now they're all friends. And
what I love is they're trying to get them both on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, my gosh.
You mentioned the Taylors on Dancing with the Stars. It would be so amazing.
Well, that's adorable.
My whole thing is there's no way. I don't think he could have had sperm. And if he did, how? But also, he would have had an erection all the time.
Yeah.
I can see
it's
that.
Just, he duct taped it down.
And also, cold causes shrinkage.
I just love it.
Cold causes shrinkage, right?
That's fair.
He's cold.
That's
like, how did this work?
This is why they went to have sex in the tropical climate.
And then so they named her Renesmee. And then she... Jacob imprinted on her, but let me tell you.
That last was a little wild.
I still love it.
I still love
it.
I still love it.
I think at the end she was like, I have to finish this book. Fuck it. Let's just put this in
here. I mean, like, they have everything. They get to be married. They get to have kids. Like,
it's over. I'm done with it.
Yeah.
Well, I read somewhere that that book wasn't supposed to actually exist.
Oh, really?
The hype. So neither was New Moon. The publisher kind of pushed for her to have the love triangle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which your book has a little bit of a love triangle, a little, but one of them's not worth it.
Yeah.
So anyway, they pushed for that, so that's where New Moon came from. But book four, it was supposed to kind of end with Eclipse, and then they get married.
Okay.
But the other stuff led up because they had to wrap up Jacob's story.
Got it.
And they chose a baby.
Right. They had to give him, like, a happy ending of something.
And, like, giving a second point of view later with Jacob, when we never had a second POV in any of the other books, is so out of left field.
It was. I remember that.
Like, as an author, you go, I understand this choice because you have to fill it in, but also as an author, I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I remember being surprised. It was kind of interesting to hear Jacob's point of view, but I was like, what's happening right now?
Right.
It was odd.
Why him as well?
Right.
Like, why was he the one? But anyway, I love it.
So it's awesome.
What does your day look like today? As we're wrapping up.
Yeah. Right. So my panel's at noon today. It's out on author stage 2. And then I'll do my signing after that. And then I'm at the Steamy Lit booth, which is number 34. And I'm going to be signing.
They have really cool t-shirts there. I bought one yesterday that says Good Girl on it.
Nice. Okay. I love
that. And they have inclusive sizes.
Yes. All the way up to
5X.
They're awesome.
I said, I don't think they're going to have my size.
And they
said, try me.
They said, bet. The girl literally stood there, crossed her arms, and goes, bet.
I was like, okay. And then when I told her what size I needed, she was like, we go up to 5X, girl. We got you. I was like,
okay, I will buy a shirt.
She's like, romance readers come in all sizes.
Yeah, we do.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They're
all
awesome.
Girls read books.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, sorry, what else?
So it's panel, and it's signing, and then another signing, and then I'm done. So.
And you can get her book at the Steamy Lit panel.
Yes.
And
I think both of yours are actually there.
Okay, awesome.
And at the bookstore here on the second floor.
Yeah.
So,
All right, well, we got to wrap up, guys.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're amazing.
So you guys are so fun. I'm so glad I got to chat with you.
Well, when the new book comes out, bother us. Okay. Or we'll bother you. Yes. No, we'll bother you.
Yes, it'll be sure. Like next summer, I believe.
Yeah, cool.
Thinking,
yeah.
So.
Yeah. We got called professional for the first time, and we're like, we're professional?
I was like, have you seen me? Like, I literally walked away the other day when somebody had cotton candy when we were talking to an author. April practically
I was like,
back.
No. We're still in a conversation here.
And then the author looks up at me and she goes, I just got diagnosed with ADHD. I get it.
Thank you, Christy,
so much.
Thank you. Check out her books. They're amazing.
We'll see you guys in a little bit
with Denise Williams.
Bye.
Our editor is my husband. And
editor Tom.
He does get paid by me only because
you can do the math.
That's
yeah. No, I figured it out. Thank you for the visual.
Are we live on book five?
Talk about Tom. Major Tom.
Right.
Is this on or do I need to turn
it? It is on.
Okay. Besties, we are here with Denise Williams.
This is her newest book. Just Our Luck, and it's fake dating, which is one of my favorite tropes ever. Yes, I don't like fake marriage because that's too much of a commitment, but fake dating, if it has fake dating, I will eat that shit up every time.
You know, if it's fake anything, I mean fake relationship anything, I'm here for it. Like, I don't care the author, I don't care the subgenre, and if they hate each other on top of that, which isn't this book, but I'm all in.
Yeah, so actually it's a series now, but the first one is Boyfriend Material.
Oh, yes.
Have you read that by Alexis
mm-hmm.
Haley?
Yeah.
And they hate each other. There's all this angst and it's fake dating. Oh, that book is so fucking good.
Allie Hazelwood does that really good too. You have 10 books.
It's wild to me. That's wild.
10 novels. Wild. Okay, first and foremost, when do you sleep?
I don't very much.
If our fans are going to jump into you, where do they start?
You know, I think it really depends what you like to read. So I have an interconnected series is my first four books, How to Fail at Flirting, Do You Take This Man, Fast Way to Fall, and Technically Yours. And they have some angst in them. They're all open door. One of them's a slow burn, but they're all like explicit on the page, pretty sexy. And then those, I think, are... They're all really different. So if you want like a rom-com, super sexy, like kind of fun vibes, Do You Take This Man is what I would recommend. It's Enemies with Benefits. She's a divorce attorney who performs weddings on the side. He is a dude bro wedding planner. Neither of them believe in love and they are surrounded by weddings. And there's so much sex in that book. That was my COVID pandemic that I wrote it during lockdown
valid,
book.
Cozy valid. Sex books.
Yeah. So my debut, How to Fail at Flirting, is definitely a fan favorite. It is a little more angsty, and it's really a healing journey because the heroine is a survivor of domestic violence. But it's also got all the cute rom-com vibes, and it really focuses on that idea of falling in love while healing and what those two have in common and how they're interconnected. And so that one is a little darker. Someone wants that. Again, still lots of open door. Yeah. The Fastest Way to Fall is a fan favorite. And so if you're new to romance or if you're like a slow burn, that is probably my only really, truly slow burn.
Yeah.
Like you got to wait a while. But when you get there, last three chapters. But that one is around body positivity. It's incredibly empowering, especially for women. And the hero is, when I do polls of my readers, Wes is my favorite hero. The folks that
You're like, that's my husband.
Yeah, pretty much. That's the, if you were doing the bang, marry, kill, like he's the Mary. Like that's always that.
Your website says you wrote your first book in second grade.
I did.
So, as someone that also started really young, my first book was about a hyena that had a headache.
I love that.
And she couldn't open the bottle because it was childproof. And that's how good. Yeah. I'm brilliant. I know. So, have you looked back and gone... Oh, I should definitely tap back into that from anything from like then on.
Probably not that book in the second grade, although.
Not that far back, but like middle school, high school, college. Like you look back and go, I could have done something with this.
You know, it's interesting because I always loved to write. I have always loved to write. That was a class project. And it was enemies to, well, not lovers because we were second grade, but enemies to
love, yeah. And intrigue.
Getting married on the playground.
And I am old enough that I have physical copies of all of that. Yes. Like, same. Some of it was saved on, like, one of those solid floppy disks.
Mine
but
was printed in the local Penny Saver. Yeah. Mature.
Yeah. Well, and I wrote poetry all the time in high school. Horrible poetry. But and I'd forgotten it. I did. Well, funny thing. I'd forgotten about it, and I was looking for something. It was maybe during lockdown, and I was looking for something to read. I said, for my readers, I'll post something from my bin of old writing. And I went, and I had all these printouts of poems, and at the bottom was a screen name and a website, and I was like, oh, shit, I forgot I did. There were posted, like, hundreds of poems, not under my name, like, under a screen name on this website from, like, 1998. I was like, there's no way this website. There's no way this website still exists.
Still there?
It did, and those poems were all still. I think it has now gone out of business, but this was in 2020, 2021, something like that. And this website had definitely not been updated since 2001, I'm guessing, based on the look of it. But people were still commenting on these horrible poems. I mean, like, this is beautiful. It's like, no.
I posted, like, my work in progress. I was posting pages every day. So when I took it down, like, looking back now, that shit was super embarrassing, right? But looking back now, and like, when I went to take the MySpace down, they're like, do you want to keep this? I'm like, fuck no.
Oh, you know what? I went through and I printed out every single one, or I saved them. I had one where I compared grief to a thermos full of green Jell-O, which is wrong for several reasons. One, I had never experienced true grief. Two, you don't make Jell-O in a thermos, because why would you?
Now I'm intrigued.
And how would you float on said Jell-O inside a thermos? It's a whole thing. But
the angst of the young.
I do think about some older things I'd written. And, like, I wrote, like, 2007, I did National Novel Writing Month when that was still around.
I love Nano.
And I finished it. And I wrote a book I loved. It was not romance. It had a lot of issues, and I never went back and edited it. But it was about grown children all coming home after their mother has passed. And then you learn about all their, why their relationship is the way it is because of flashbacks. And you see them, like, growing up. And I love it. And I think now and again, like, I really should, like, go back to that and start from scratch. And
you have a community and people that love your work already.
Do, which is amazing. I'm so, like, honored by that.
I have one author thing that I can actually share. I won a young authors contest by
my just
local.
One thing.
But it was, it gets more interesting. Just wait for the punchline. This was with the... This was sponsored by the library system in I'm from Ohio, so in the town where I grew up, and they published it. They basically laminated it and put it on display, and people could come read it. But the winner, which I was, got to meet Beverly Cleary.
Oh my gosh!
That's what I said.
I had lunch with her at Burger King, and I had chicken tenders, and that is all I remember. From meeting Beverly fucking Cleary.
Well,
we just probably didn't know.
I didn't know the big deal, and now I'm a librarian, and like, every time I meet an author, it is like truly an honor. I'm like, you all are my superheroes. Like, I'm like, I got to meet the Denise Williams. Like, I got to meet her. Like,
and I go, you're my colleague. Because we write.
But, and do you know what I love about book conferences is every single person is like that.
Yeah.
Like,
have you ever been to one of the library cons? Like,
I have not been invited to one of those yet. So I've been mostly to reader cons. And
it's complete library nerddom. It is wonderful. If you ever get to go to ALA, all the librarians will be like, what can we do to make sure your books are in our library? What can we do to promote you? Can you come to our library?
I love that about book spaces.
Librarians
are amazing, like, hands down forever. Booksellers are amazing.
Yeah.
And so, like, getting to be in that space and talk to people and...
Absolutely. We've always been diverse because we know the importance of the word on the page.
Yeah.
We know the importance of it because the knowledge, it's not just the fiction. It's also the knowledge. It's also the storytelling. It's also remembering what being a human being is like.
Right.
It doesn't matter if it's romance or an epic fantasy.
Yeah.
You are feeling a human experience that somebody else wrote and put out there in the world.
Yeah.
And that connects you more to the world.
Oh, 100%.
And I'm a children's book, our children's librarian. I will die on the hill of diverse books for kids.
Oh, 100%.
It builds empathy. I will die on that hill. And so
love inclusivity, especially
and they're
in
good
romance.
Books and
curvy girls in romance. I'm like, yes, that's me.
It's my jam. It's my jam. Well, and to library, I did my first book tour with this book. Yeah. This is my 10th book, but I came out in COVID.
Right.
We didn't do them, and then Brooklyn wasn't doing them, and then I was busy, and then I, so this was my first book tour, and I got to do an event at the Howard County Library System in Maryland, because my cousin runs, my cousin runs events for the system, Allie, and so... Yeah, anytime. And so I got to do an event with her, and she was my moderator, and she's older than me by a couple years, and to me was always like, you know, your older cousin, at least in my family, is like, you are the coolest person I will ever know, and I still think that is true.
I'm the oldest cousin.
Well, then you know. Like,
I am the cool one.
The coolest person anyone's ever going to know, and that is her. And so that was like such a cool thing to get to do, because I love doing events with libraries. So yeah, hit me up. I'll come to Maryland, Virginia.
So do you have a favorite romance trope?
Yeah, I was just going
to
get there.
I do. To read, it's enemies to lovers, and it, with forced proximity or like yeah, definitely. I've written like in Technically Yours. There's only one tent. There's only one air mattress. Like all for that. But yeah, if there's forced proximity or like a marriage of convenience or fake dating with the enemies, I love to read that. It is hard to write enemies to lovers. I've written one, which was Do You Take This Man?
Well, because people will market things as enemies to lovers when it's still instant love. And it's like, oh, they just are on opposite sides, but they loved it right away. Like, come on.
Yeah, and so it's challenging to write because you really do have to thread that needle very finely of their legitimate enemies and they have reason to dislike each other, but then you like them enough to want them to be happy. So I don't. Those are hard to write, but I love to read it. My favorite to write is honestly probably Friends to Lovers, which I know is.
I love Friends to Lovers.
It's divisive, but I will die on this hill. I did it a panel yesterday. It can be filled with the most tension, the most angst, the highest stakes, because this is...
there's the most loose.
Yeah.
There's a relationship you value more than anything at stake. And so I do love writing Friends to Lovers. I think that has fun. But there are very few tropes I can't get into. I don't do mafia. I don't do a lot of dark romance.
I don't either.
No, I don't like that. I didn't enjoy Placenta the first time around as a host of it. I don't want it in my books, which is fine for those who do and like... everybody should have love and good sex, pregnant or no, but no, not really.
I'm a big fan of the Grumpy Sunshine because that's my marriage. In case you haven't guessed, I'm the sunshine, he's the grumpy.
I don't know, I got real sunshine vibes from Tom. this one is Grumpy Sunshine as well. Yeah. So it's fake dating and Grumpy Sunshine.
Yeah. That's my favorite. My favorite is Grumpy Sunshine. I love a slow burn, but that's not our marriage. We met, and a week after we met, we told each other we loved each other. We got matched on eHarmony. So we're talking like... Tinder days, like
I met my husband online, like pre-app.
Yeah, and we neither one of us wanted a serious relationship. He was supposed to be a free dinner. I was just starting to date again after years of dealing with a heartbreak. He was moving. He was moving to a different state because he was active duty, and it was supposed to be a free dinner. So we're 15 years into marriage, 16 years dating, and I will still look at him and be like, "You were supposed to be a free dinner." What are you doing?
I invited my husband for 1 weekend to visit, and he never went away.
I mean, you know, these are things that, like, this is why I say I love romance, because everybody has or can have an epic love story, and it's not something that's fictional, and deserves it.
So while we have you here, let's tell the live viewers who are coming to the festival what your day looks like.
Hello.
Today. Yeah, what's your day look like?
I am on a panel at noon today. The titles of Run Together, I don't remember what it's about. Got character development. I love writing characters about character development. And then I will be part of the author speed dating at 3 p.m. So,
so fun, guys. You can't miss that.
Yes, I'm a super fun 5-minute date, which many people who are not my husband can tell you. Like from before I married him, not since. that's my day today. Yesterday was much busier, and then I'll be bopping around. But I have to say, D's. Bakery or D's Cookies did several cookies based on books, and they did one based on mine. They're in the food truck area.
Oh my God.
And I popped by yesterday. It's like a confetti cookie, and it is so good. And they're a little bit firmer cookies, so even when it's hot out, they're not like melting.
I love
those
kind of cookies, though.
Oh, they're so good. So I'm going to pop over there, but I went over yesterday, and I met D's husband, or the baker's Baker's handler, I think he called himself. So that's my plug there. You may spot me over there because those cookies were really good. Yes.
Final book bestie question. We ask all our favorite authors this.
It's fun to ask romance authors this question, too.
Okay.
Do vampires have sperm?
There's no right answer.
There is no right answer.
I believe they don't.
Yes.
Well, no, let me take that back. They do, because vampires have blood still.
Right.
But it doesn't carry the same nutrients. So I think they have semen, but I don't think there's active sperm in it. They're like little wiggly, non-dead sperm.
That's a good answer. Yeah. Like, she, like...
Because they still have bodily fluids per any thing I've seen on television.
Twilight, like it's Twilight ship hosts were ratties, you know, like the whole kit and caboodle. And Renesmee is just a complex. Yeah.
Did he just walk around with an erection all the time? He's made of stone.
That's outside my purview. I don't know. But I am a researcher by trade. I have a PhD. Like, I work at a university. I'm a researcher. And so... You know, for my next book, if you've read Just Our Luck, it's Deacon's story, who is Sybil's kind of fuckboy best friend and is her roommate.
We love a fuckboy.
And it is a brother's best friend story. But he was in the military. He was a pararescue jumper in the Air Force. And that... Okay. So I grew up in the military. My dad's Air Force. His dad's Air Force. My brother's in the Air Force. Yeah. And when I got my PhD, I researched student veterans and their experiences coming back to college campuses and what we can do to support them. And so I loved writing this book for so many reasons. I love these characters. The new one is called The Redo List. But writing that and doing all the research, I got down a rabbit hole of what PJs do. And, like, I was asking my dad, my brother, and my friends who are in the military. And then, like, I've got 27 websites flagged for references that no one is going to notice. Like,
I have too much knowledge about the Vermont bootlegging system. Why?
Comes in handy for trivia, though.
Like because I've been doing the book.
Same thing for this, like how to make donuts.
So when does that one come out?
That one will be out January 27th. The cover is coming soon, and it's so cute. It's the same artist who did this cover, Liz Parks. And she is phenomenal. Yeah, she did Christie's as well.
This is really a beautiful cover.
It's stunning.
I saw it, and I was like, that's my vibe.
And she's done pre-order art for me for all my previous books. And so I have character art for her for all of my books. But yeah, that one will be out in January 27th. It's Brother's Best Friend. It's about a heroine who was in a relationship for, like, her whole life, like, from middle school through post-college, and it ended. And it ended publicly, and she becomes, like, this viral meme. And she
escapes.
One does, yeah. So she escapes to Iowa to dog sit for her brother while he's deployed. And her brother asks his best friend, who has now left the military because of injury, to take care of his sister. And then she decides. He does. And then she decides if she can redo her firsts. All her firsts were with this ex. Sexual and romantic, but also just life firsts. We're all tied to him. And so she embarks on this project to redo all her firsts. It's called The Redo List. And he helps her.
Listen, we tend to read romance in February, so if you want to come on for a whole episode and bring
hit me up. You got my publicist information. I will love it. It will never be a bother.
Because you're a book bestie.
Oh, you're book besties. Yes.
Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your festival. Please check out her panels. Are you doing signings after your panels?
I will do signing after the panel. Bring your books with you because I think they've sold out at all the bookstores here of them.
Damn.
That's pretty exciting.
We'll find Barnes & Noble, guys.
Is the Steamy Lit booth, it's out of your books too?
They are. I signed at Steamy Lit yesterday, but still go to Steamy Lit. It's amazing. It's woman-owned. It's veteran-owned.
I got their shirt that says Good Girl.
Yes.
And husband picked it up for me, and romance books have told me I have a praise kink. I didn't know before that. But I was like, oh, they're not going to have my size. And she goes, bet.
Yeah.
And I was like, told her my size. She's like, we go up to 5X. We got you. And I was like, yes.
Steamy Lit, and candidly all romance bookstores, not on all bookstores in general, but Steamy Lit is here, and they have amazing books. And I am on a quest to hand sell as many copies of The Oath by T.R. Richardson as I can. Have you read this one?
Mm-mm.
This is the sexiest book I've read in 10 years. I am not T.R. I am not T.R. Richardson. I just hand picked to hand sell her books. So the grown folks, they're all in their late 40s, 50s.
Good.
Late 40s, 50s. And
I don't always want to read about 20
year olds. No. These are grown folks.
I made me feel like a pervert because they were college kids.
No. These are grown folks. And her husband passes away right at the beginning of the book. And he asks, he knows it's going to happen, and he asks his friends to look out for her and to take care of her after he is gone. And then all three of them really do take care of her. And so it's, yes, it is a Why Choose book. It is beautifully written and like engaging and funny and charming and so sexy. You know, it's not really, I wouldn't say it's a sad book. Like, it's a book of finding your way
after the world has changed.
Yeah, finding your way after this has changed. So I wouldn't say, I don't think there is death in the beginning, and that is sad, and there's grief, but it's not a book about the grief. It's a book about the moving on and the moving forward, I guess I should say. Anyway, it's called The Oath, and Steamulet has a special edition. The cover is stunning. It looks very, it looks like you're reading Jane Austen when you have the cover, and then it's...
I'm such a nerd about that stuff.
Yeah.
We share an audiobook app. That sounds like one that we would both want to read.
It is so good. It's a black romance. It's, again, T.R. Richardson, she also writes by Toddy Richardson, is fantastic.
I'm going to
so,
go as soon as I can.
As of yesterday, they had a stash because they have special editions. So that's
okay,
my plug.
Cool. So I
tell them that Denise sent you because it's my mission to get as many books
about
off the shelf.
Well, thank you for your
time.
Thank you so much.
You have a panel to get to soon. Maybe you want to eat beforehand, the author's lounge. Go hide.
Have a popsicle.
I'm an introvert, so I've gone and hidden in there. Yeah. Thank you again so much.
Thank you.
All right, we're back at 2 o'clock with Edward Underhill, but we are doing a panel at noon. If you don't want to go, if you want to don't want to go to ours, go to Denise's. But we're doing a panel at noon. I don't know why I said 1 o'clock. Noon. You're doing a panel at noon, right?
Yes.
So we both have panels at noon. Take your pick. All right. We'll see you next time. Bye, besties.
Bye, besties.